The Bing Crosby Show for General Electric. Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and Bing's guest, Mr. Frank Sinatra. All brought to you by General Electric, neighbors of yours who believe there is no limit to progress when people work together. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Bing.
Talking about the Jones boy, the Jones boy, the Jones boy. The whole town's talking about the Jones boy. He acts mighty peculiar now. The whole town's saying he was a good boy, a nice boy, a swell boy. The whole town thinks that he's not a well boy. He just isn't the same somehow. He hops, he jumps, so merrily over the water pumps. He stops and then he'll come to a pump and he'll jump again. They're buzzing over the fences. The kid's gone out of his senses. The whole town's talking about the Jones boy, that poor boy, the Jones boy. But I just happen to know the Jones boy, and he happens to be in love. Yes, he happens to be in love.
Yes, sir, Bing. Real good.
Oh, you were listening, eh, Ken?
Oh, certainly. This is one of my favorite programs.
Well, aren't you nice to say so?
Oh. I never miss it, Bing. By the way, that little love song is very appropriate, especially today.
Why is this? Is somebody by the name of Jones listening to the program, too?
Oh, jillions of Joneses are listening, I hope.
Unless we slight another big block, there's undoubtedly scads of Smiths on the Erie tonight, like the Ralph Smiths up in Lamoille.
Oh, yes. Well, we're very big with all the Smiths, the Johnsons, Olsons, everybody.
Yeah,
but Bing, when I said the Jones boy was very appropriate, I didn't mean because a lot of Joneses were listening.
Well, then what did you mean?
Bing, don't tell me you don't know.
No, I'm...
This is March 21st, the first day of spring.
Well, I'll be diddly dad burned. You know, Ken, I felt rather giddy and keyed up all afternoon, but I just attribute it to the fact that the waitress dropped an extra egg in my malted at lunchtime.
Don't blame it on the egg.
You don't
it's
think so?
Spring.
Oh, yes.
You know what Tennyson said? Spring is the boyhood of the year.
Yes, Ken, and Alfred Lord also said, in the spring, a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love.
Mm-hmm. Say, that applies to older men, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, so far.
So far as what?
So far as I know.
Bing, it must apply to older men.
Keep talking, Ken. I love everything.
Well, Bing, I'm sure Tennyson's famous observation can be expanded.
Oh, yes, but can we? I thought of that.
Incidentally, I believe that's about the best-known quote on spring and love, isn't it?
Yes, I think in the spring a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love is certainly well-known. Of course, there's another much better-known quotation from Tennyson's works.
What quotation is that?
I don't want no ricochet romance.
But you mean to tell me that Tennyson wrote, I don't want no...
Well, I guess it was poetic license, Ken.
Look, if I were you, Bing, I'd lay off those eggs in your malted milk.
I didn't even want the one I had, and this waitress laid the extra one in there. Well, I just had to take it because I didn't want her to think I was a sissy, you
see.
Oh,
I see.
But now, Ken, in an effort to extend the romantic atmosphere that we stirred up here, I think we should do a song. The lyrical locale of this one is Spain, and if that's not a romantic spot, I certainly don't know one. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Granada.
Granada, I'm falling under your spell.
And if you could speak, what a fascinating tale you would tell. Of an age the world has long forgotten. Of an age that weaves a silent magic in Granada today. The dawn in the sky greets the day with a sigh for Granada. For she can remember the splendor that once was Granada. It still can be found in the hills all around as I wander along, entranced by the beauty before me, entranced by a land full of sunshine and flowers and song. And when day is done and the sun starts to set in Granada, I envy the blush of the snow-clad Sierra Nevada. For soon it will welcome the stars, while a thousand guitars play a soft habanera. Then moonlight Granada will live again, the glory of yesterday, romantic and gay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Folks, as you know, next week, the Academy Awards will be announced here in Hollywood. I guess about the biggest stir has been created by the Columbia Picture from here to eternity. This picture has been nominated for Best Film Editing, Best Musical Score, Dramatic Picture, Best Achievement by a Sound Department, Best Picture, two nominations for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Back, not finished yet. To continue from here to eternity, has also been nominated for Best Direction, Best Screenplay, Best Cinematography, Black and White Picture.
This introduction is running from here to eternity, too.
And Best Costume Design. Naturally, we tried to snag many of the talented men and women who are up for these awards, but the best we could come up with is Mr. Frank Sinatra.
That's bad?
No, that's good. Really, Frank, it's a pleasure to have you. A potential Oscar winner is our guest this evening. Isn't this grand?
You know, folks, every time I'm up for an Academy Award, I'm a guest on Crosby's program.
Hey, what are you talking about? This is the first time you were ever up.
It's the first time I was ever on, too.
There'll be other years, Frank. Tell me something. Frank, if you grab this Oscar now, you're going to put it right on the mantle, right up there big in your living room?
No, Bing, I don't think it'd be right.
Why not?
I mean, if I put the Oscar on the mantle, well, everyone who comes to my house would have to look at it. So I decided to be real modest about the whole thing.
Well, where are you going to put the Oscar then if you win it?
Out in the garage.
Oh, Frank, that's being too modest, don't you think?
Well, Bing, to be more specific, I'm going to put it out in the garage on the radiator of my car.
That sounds like a real flashy ornament.
It beats a foxtail and it's harder to get.
Well, you said it and I should know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You won an Academy Award, too.
Two?
Sorry, I got carried away.
Anyhow, Frank, what are you going to sing for us tonight?
I'd like to do Young at Heart, if it's all right with you, Bing.
Well, it's okay with me, of course. You've got a big record out on Young at Heart, haven't you?
Well, it's going pretty good, I'm happy to say. Say, you got a record out on Young at Heart, too, haven't you, Bing?
Yeah, You All Come is really moving.
Yeah, I like You All Come. It's a little rural for a dramatic actor like me to sing, but it's a good tune to listen to.
Oh, thank you. Now, Frank, if you'll turn your attention to Mr. Trotter, I'm sure that he'll conduct very dramatically for you.
He's a good man.
He's a big man, too.
Thank you.
tales can come true. It can happen to you. If you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on the way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, think of all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part. You had a head start. If you are among the very young at heart. Gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or it's on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, think of all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part. You've had a head start. If you are among the very young.
Smooth, Frank. Smooth and sentimental. Smooth as a champagne velvet.
Them's mighty kind words.
Frank, while the folks are still in this nice mood that you've created, what do you say we continue with some philosophical type songs? You know, songs that date back a few years.
Yeah, good idea. Anything to take my mind off me till this Academy jazz is over.
Oh, yes. Friends, Mr. Sinatra and I would like to do a medley of Among My Souvenirs, September Song, and As Time Goes By. Mr. Trotter, would you please?
Nothing left for me of days that used to be. I live in memory among my souvenirs. Some letters tied with blue, a photograph for two. I see a rose from you among my souvenirs. A few more tokens rest within my treasure chest, and though they do their best to give me consolation, I count them all apart, and as the teardrops start, I find a broken heart among my souvenirs. From May to December, but the days grow short when you reach September, when the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got time for the waiting game. All the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you, on that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. When woman needs man, and man must have his mate, that no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
Oh, that was great fun, Frankie. Real nice.
I enjoy singing those songs, Bing.
Me too. I tell you what, Frank, if you're not doing anything next week, why don't you come back here? We'll sing some more ditties of a sentimental nature.
I might do just that.
Please do. Come on back next week and bring your Oscar, huh? Show off a little.
Supposing I don't win one.
Well, come on back anyhow. Have a good cry.
What do I win for that? Anyway, Bing, I'll be back next week, hot or cold.
Frank, the welcome mat is always on.
Thank you, sir.
Not at all. Now, Frank, if you'll excuse me, I have a little matter here that I must take up with Ken Carpenter.
We'll step right in here.
I've got it. Ken, I have here the annual report on the electrical business as it relates to General Electric. GE's report to its shareholders covering the year 1953.
Oh, checking up on our sponsor, huh? Oh, you're a sly one,
Bing. No, actually, I'm not as artful as you credit me, Ken. This report goes to all share owners, all 246,000 of them. But you might feel better knowing that it's an encouraging report. We may very well continue to get paid.
Oh, happy word.
Isn't that peachy?
Wonderful. Now I can keep up the payments on my fireproof smoking jacket.
Oh, yes, your asbestos tartan. Yeah. Look right here on the cover of the report. Look here, Ken. Yeah. It says the GE sales top $3
billion. $3
billion? Everything's going great, Ken. Fact is, GE's 1953 sales set a new record. Almost half a billion better than the previous year's sales. General Electric sales are up, its earnings are up, and its dividends are up. Jobs and payrolls are up also.
Oh, the whole company's on the up and up.
Why, we ought to be broadcasting from a balloon, boy.
I never could stand heights. That's the only trouble. Well, you know, Bing, this good news is all very fine for you. You're a share owner, but where does it get the rest of us?
Well, I think the reason for this success is important to all of us, Ken. You see, a lot of GE's increased business since the war has been due to its heavy investment in scientific research and development. The laboratories have found ways to improve established products and launch new ones. That's Olivier, says laboratories, yes, in Alec Guinness. And even start brand new businesses.
Well, that's true, Bing. There's the new jet engine plant for aircraft, the growing electronics and appliance field, silicones, turbine generators, switchgear.
Well, that's why GE's advances are important to all of us, because those advances are expanding our whole economy. They're making more jobs, providing better products at lower cost, and often new products for us to choose from. In the final analysis, Ken, everybody benefits, you see.
Well, of course, all this costs a whale of a lot of money.
Oh, scads of loot. Since the war, GE has spent more than $800 million to improve its research and manufacturing facilities alone.
That's not the end, Bing. As I understand it, GE expects the demand for electricity to double in the next 10 years.
That's what I hear, Ken. That's why General Electric is continuing to invest heavily in research and development to find better ways of supplying power in new plants and new equipment to increase production. And GE's exploring human relations, too, looking for more advanced ways of dealing with people and with customers and employees and management.
Well, that latter is a relatively unexplored field, Bing.
And it's a new caper,
yes. Yes, it is. It's sometimes a mighty ticklish proposition.
Oh, yes. How well I know, Ken. I'm reminded of the time in my youth when I happily offered my services as a self-appointed manager of a football team.
And your offer was rebuffed?
Not exactly rebuffed, but the team captain just punched me in the eye. You see this limpid left eye here with the slight twitch?
Looks all right now.
Yeah,
it was
little
a terrible thing that happened, though.
Oh, yes. This boy obviously needed handling. I tried to reason with him like a regular Dutch uncle.
Yeah, that's good.
I flattered, I cajoled him.
Good.
Then finally I got my big brother Everett to beat the daylights out of him. Great. Worked like a charm.
But has Everett worked since?
That's a whole new subject. Where were we?
We were discussing General Electric.
Oh, great outfit, Ken. Top drawer.
Oh, yes, I know.
Everybody ought to get one of these reports, Ken.
But everybody isn't a GE share owner, Bing.
Well, you don't have to be. You passed penmanship in school, didn't you, Ken?
In the Palmer method, you mean? Well, my circles were never very good. Only under my eyes.
Well, caused by late study, I suppose.
Yeah.
But buck up, Ken. Try it again. Take pen in hand and write to General Electric, Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady? Now, there's a word that'll take some spelling.
Oh, yes. Well worth spelling, though, because I think this annual report is well worth reading for everybody. It gives you some idea of the tremendous future of our nation and the plans one company is making to meet this future.
Spurred on by one thought, there's no limit to progress when people work together.
With special emphasis on that last word, Ken, together. Now, here's a little song that Perry Como has made a hit record on, a song called Simply Wanted. I figured I might as well ride along on the coattails of the popularity this record is almost certain to achieve and have a shot at it here.
Oh,
someone who kissed me and held me closely, then stole my heart. Wanted someone I trusted, who gave no warning we'd ever part. She was last seen hiding out in someone's arms. He knew nothing of the danger in her charms. A jury may find her guilty, but I'd forgive her if I could see a signed confession that she's repented and really wanted no one but me. Hiding out in someone's arms, he knew nothing of the danger in her charms. A jury may find her guilty, but I'd forgive her if I could see a signed confession that she's repented and really wanted no one but me.
Well, that's got to get it for tonight, folks. We hope to see you again next week, same time, same place, when our guest will again be Mr. Frank Sinatra. Until then, good night, and thank you very much.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Mr. Frank Sinatra. The Bing Crosby Show is brought to you each week by the people of General Electric, who believe there is no limit to progress when people work together. And at General Electric, progress is our most important product.
Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the charming Broadway musical, Irene, starring Gordon McRae and his guest star, Elaine Malbin. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and a multitude of other things you use in your daily life. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, sir, tonight, Elaine Malvin will be the unforgettable Irene. I'm a fellow named Donald Marshall, and I'm giving a party at my Fifth Avenue mansion. And, of course, you're all invited.
Our latest fad here on Fifth Avenue is tracing our family backgrounds.
You mean genealogy, Bob?
That's right. Climbing up our family trees until we find William the Conqueror.
Sometimes you climb your family tree and all you find is bark. That's called barking up the wrong tree.
In the art of genealogy, we find the pedigree of your family tree. And if it's what it ought to be, the tint of blue is flowing. If you want to find an uncle or a cousin or an aunt, renew your tree when it was a plant. We can make them what your family can't, with a coat of arms worth showing.
Please, Professor, wait. Professor, tell me, when the Mayflower sailed on that day in June, and our grandparents left on their honeymoon, did they travel first cabin and sleep till noon? Or were they of second cabin?
Underneath the branches of our spreading family tree, come along with me and meet your grandma's, grandpa's lovely relations deep beneath the covers of our ancient history. Underneath the branches of our spreading family tree.
Don, I'm glad to see you're taking an interest in this new hobby. Breeding always shows.
Oh, I don't know, Bob.
Don, you've got to help me.
With what?
Well, I've put a lot of money into a new shop, a modiste, Madame Lucy. I brought her here from Paris, but nobody's heard of her yet.
Well, what can I do?
Well, get some of your good-looking girlfriends to wear Madame Lucy's clothes, where other people will see them.
Bob, I couldn't ask a gal to change her modiste. She might think I don't like her clothes.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, Clarkson?
There's a girl from the shop about the seat cushions on the veranda.
Well, I'll be right out, Clarkson. Excuse me, Bob.
Yes, of course.
I don't know what they're all so upset about. These cushions seem okay to me.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Mr. Marshall here wished to complain about the cushions.
Clarkson.
Yes, Mr. Marshall.
You can go.
But the complaint?
I have no complaint.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's your name?
I'm the girl from the shop, Irene O'Dare. I know your name, Marshall.
Do you know that you're one of the loveliest girls I've ever seen?
No, not in this old shirtwaist and this 98-cent hat. I hope you don't mind, but I've been peeking at all those really lovely girls at your party. Those gowns, oh, they're dreamy.
Gowns don't make any difference.
Oh, yes, they do. I had a gown once.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It was Alice Blue. One of the women who comes into our shop gave it to me. It was just a cast-off, but do you know that originally it cost $85?
Imagine that. Mm-hmm.
I took it home and pressed it and fluffed it up, and I felt like a princess.
Where is it now?
It's gone. I wore it out. It just faded away. Oh, I wish you could have seen me in it. It was so wonderful. I even used to put it on a hanger. I once had a gown that was almost new. For the daintiest thing, it's a sweet olive blue. With Live, forget me not, placed here and there. When I had it on, I walked on the air. And it was, and it was, till it went, and it wasn't no more. In my sweet little life, it's gone. When I first wandered down into town, I was both proud and shy, as I felt every eye. But in every shop window, I'd print passing by. Then in manner of fashion, I'd frown, and the world seemed to smile all around.
Wonderful.
Clothes make a lot of difference to a girl. Even if I do live on 9th Avenue, I love beautiful things.
I've got a great idea. Listen, I'm going to see that you get not $85 dresses, but $300 dresses.
$300?
Irene, have you ever heard of Pygmalion and Galatea?
They a vaudeville team?
Oh, no, no, no. He was a sculptor and she was a statue. He decked her out in the most beautiful raiment and she came to life. And they loved each other forever and ever.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Well, that's what I'm going to give you, Irene. Gowns and jewels and hats and slippers. You're going to be Galatea.
Gee whiz.
How much do you make a week at the shop?
$15.
Well, you're making $25 a week right now, and all you have to do is wear beautiful clothes, go to parties, and tell everybody you bought them at Madame Lucy's. Is it a deal?
It's a deal.
No, I'm putting my foot down.
Oh, Mother.
Why, a girl in this very tenement house was a model for clothes and hats, and it was her ruin. She got used to fine feathers and wanted to be a fine bird. Well, you know what she turned into? An old crow.
All right, Mother, all right.
And didn't I have enough experience with your old man? He had to get a job in a distillery. Oh, daughter, did he love his work. Drank everything they made. Never hurt him. Could have killed him.
Yes, Mother.
Where are you going now with that black look on your face?
Just out to sit on the fire escape.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
I guess all a gal can do is dream. If I shut my eyes and my ears, why, this isn't a fire escape at all. It's the rampart of a castle.
We build our castles in the air and bid the world go by. For half the time we're living here, we're dreaming in the sky. In dreams 12 hours through the day, a shame there can't be more. If every girl could have a wish, we dream the 24.
And those aren't garbage cans over there. And that isn't Mr. Mahoney's washing flapping in the wind. It's Mr. Marshall. Don, on a white horse, come to serenade me.
There's a
Galatea gal.
Madam Lucy, I want slippers, stockings, hats and gloves, under things, over things, everything from Mademoiselle Irene O'Day. Designer gown. The most beautiful gown this town has ever seen. Mademoiselle O'Day, do you have a color preference?
Oh, yes. Blue. Alice Blue.
Oh, Don, yourself, my problem. She's sensational. Such poise, such breeding.
Oh, yes, Bob. You always said that yourself. Breeding shows.
Don, which O'Dare family is that?
Huh? Oh, the O'Dares.
You don't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Oh, Don, I tell you, she's so fascinating that I'm positively falling in love with her.
All the other men at this party seem to have the same idea. Listen.
Gentlemen, please, one at a time. Oh, I'm having a lovely time.
Well, it's as it should be, Miss O'Dare, because we all think you're the loveliest girl in the world.
Gentlemen, I thank you. I only hope at midnight I don't turn into a pumpkin.
Return in just a moment for Act Two of Irene. Just imagine, if you will, the longest underwater electric power cable in the world, 7.5 miles long. Then think of a 525,000-pound base for a huge steel tower. Finally, picture in your mind a tremendous mirror, 17 feet in diameter. Only the railroads, in fact, have the facilities, the flexibility, the ingenuity, and inventiveness to meet the challenge of these modern-day transportation jobs. To begin with, only the railroads' privately financed highways of steel could stand up under such weights. And only on the railroads' privately owned network of steel rails can such outsized loads be moved with safety and efficiency and without jeopardizing the safety and convenience of motorists. To do these jobs, the railroads have designed and built special cars capable of carrying tremendous weights and furnishing extra feet of clearance. They have, when necessary, torn up their tracks, dug out the roadbed beneath them, and temporarily replaced the tracks at a lower level. And always, they have taken full advantage of their extreme flexibility, their ability to use a large variety of alternate routes, if a shipment is too oversized to make it on the most direct route. Now, the railroad's ability to adapt their operations and facilities to handle special oversized loads is vital to the nation's economy in peacetime, and absolutely essential in wartime. But more than this, the railroad's ability to handle these difficult transportation jobs with the same efficiency and dispatch they use in their day-in, day-out job of hauling the bulk of the nation's freight, is a clear indication of why the railroads continue to be the very cornerstone of our transportation system. Here's Act Two of the Lawrence and Lee version of Irene, starring Gordon McRae as Donald Marshall and Elaine Melbin as Irene.
Oh, Don, business is booming. Every woman in town is buying her clothes at Madame Lucy's, and all because Irene has been the toast of every party.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy.
Oh, you have no idea. And Don, I'm in love with the girl, too. I've asked her to marry me.
You have? What'd she say?
She said she'd let me know. Meanwhile, I've been investigating her family tree.
Oh? What'd you find?
I've had the top genealogy expert make out a chart. Paid him $500. It proves she's an aristocrat.
$500. If you paid $1,000, Bob, they would have said her father was the Prince of Wales and her mother was Queen of Romania.
You don't approve of genealogy?
Oh, what good is a fancy family tree? Makes you feel like a potato. The best part of you is underground.
Well, all right, here's the O'Dare history. It's all on this scroll.
Let me have that, will you? I'll be right back. Irene! Oh, Irene!
I'm right here, Mr. Marshall.
Well, you having fun?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I wish it could last forever. I've kept a diary, so if anything happens, I'll have something wonderful to read about, at least, when I'm an old lady.
You know what I have here? The history of your family.
Oh, dear. Does it tell about Pop in the distillery? And about Uncle Gus and the Jersey cop?
No, no. It's all about queens and princesses in Ireland. It's all poetry. Here, look.
Oh, it's like a fairy story. And I'm in it.
You sure are.
Once a king of Normandy wed a queen of Arcady. Then they settled o'er the sea. Seamus came, then Kathleen. Sham was born, and then Eileen. Michael came before Irene. Irene, a little bit of salt and sweetness. Irene, a dainty slip of rare completeness. Mannerism, magnetism, eyes of youth inviting. Dancing by with glancing eye, the flush of her exciting siren. The sword who captures hearts to charm them. Careful, beware. Now she's here, now she's there, followed by her set. Up she goes, down she goes, everybody's pet. Near or far, there you are, captured in the net of Tippity Witch Irene O'Dare.
Irene, a little bit of salt and sweetness. Irene, a dainty slip of rare completeness.
Mannerism, magnetism, eyes of youth inviting. Dancing by with glancing eye, the flush of her exciting siren. The sword who captures hearts to charm them. Careful, beware. Now she's here, now she's there, followed by her set.
Up she goes, down she goes, everybody's pet.
Near or far, there you are, captured in the net of Tippity Witch.
Tippity Witch, Irene O'Dare.
Gee, that's so nice. Oh, I wish it was true. I wish it was for real. I hate masquerading when I'm with you.
But I'm the one who made it all up.
That pig guy.
Pygmalion.
Yes. Did his gal ever have to go back and be a statue again? Or could she keep on pretending she was a girl and keep on being in love with him?
Well, I think he was the one who had to pretend. Because, you see, she is so very beautiful that, well, he never thought he was worthy of her.
Golly.
Be worthy just a little while in the sunlight of your gentle smile.
Oh, you'd ask for any guitar. Oh, I would give yet my heart alone.
But remember, little butterfly, as she fluttered in the garden, would wander there in a garden fair. Soon she must fly away.
Excuse me.
Oh, hi, Bob. What's up?
Well, the party's almost over, and I'd like the last dance with the most beautiful girl here.
Oh, no, 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 you don't. Irene's going to dance with me.
I'm awfully sorry, Bob.
I always said, Bob, the last part of a party was the most fun of all. You know that.
Oh, the last part of every party is the real part, the best of all.
Harry, raise old Harry as we are growing small,
telling first names, playing love games,
fancies changing at best and call.
I wouldn't change your disposition, though I may have the intuition.
You're not so much to me that I should care. But now I found you here alone. We'll have a moment of our own.
Why don't you listen to me?
Why don't you listen to me?
Goodness, won't you wait a little while? You've been very distant.
And you've always been persistent.
Now you're coming around, or else you wouldn't smile. And I notice by your attitude, you show a little gratitude and make the weary waiting worth the while.
Oft times of many affections, all we care to show,
we'll make a
shower the money, dollar one and all,
and make the last
party
going on here?
Mother!
Mother?
Mother, how did you get here?
That fine Irish cab driver who snoozes on the corner of 8th Avenue told me where you'd been hiring to me, fine lady. So this is why you quit your job in that shop, to mix with these swells.
I'll come home with you right now, Mother.
I should think so. Get out of those fine feathers and come back to your roost on 9th Avenue.
Irene.
Don't say anything, Don. Please.
Well, this certainly changes the whole picture. I obviously can't marry you now.
Well, nobody asked you to.
Irene, what if a guy like me stood in line and waited, and maybe someday if she thought he was good enough for her, then maybe she'd want to go through life with him.
Do you hear that, Mama? Mr. Pygmalion here is asking me to marry him. It sure sounded that way.
Oh, you have lovely ears, Galatea.
Oh, the saints preserve us. Look at them, too. They're in love.
Oh, yes, Mama. And it's just like in a fairy tale.
There's a castle in our dream.
There we place our hopes and all our fancies.
There's a love of romance,
and sweethearts for wooing under your
Calvin. We'll be back in just one moment. Our thanks to Verna Felton, Tom McKee, and to our entire company. Irene, with music by Harry Tierney, book by James Montgomery, and lyrics by Joseph McCarthy, was dramatized for The Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this same time by the American Railroads.
Every Marvin? Time you see one of the men or women who serves you by working for the railroads that serve you, and there are more than 1.25 million of these men and women, remember this. For each of those people, there is at least one other person employed by the many industries that supply the railroads. Railroad purchases of materials, supplies, fuel, and equipment annually total up to several billions of dollars. They represent a realistic cross-section of the output of American industry and agriculture. The result is that in providing the nation's number one transportation system, the railroads not only create millions of jobs, but they are also one of America's best customers.
Thank you very much, Marvin. And now, folks, here again is the lovely Elaine Malbin.
Thank you, Gordon. Where are you taking the show train next week?
Well, you just listen.
We are the Musketeers.
I know. You're going to be one of the three Musketeers.
No, you're wrong, Elaine. I'll be the fourth Musketeer. And Dorothy Warren Scholl will be with us to fill the air with music.
We'll all be listening. Good night, Gordon.
Come back soon, Elaine.
All aboard!
Well, dear friends, it looks as though ready to pull out. And so until next Monday night, and Three Musketeers, on behalf of the other members of the cast and of the American Railroads, this is your friend Gordon McRae saying good night.
Irene was presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae may be seen starring in Two Sailors and a Girl in Technicolor. Our choir was under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music was prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And reminding you, this month is Easter Seal Month. As you know, this campaign benefits the hundreds of thousands of crippled children who need the services of the National Society for Crippled Children. Won't you support the work of this organization? And now, keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Transcribed. Stay tuned now for the Telephone Hour with Barbara Gibson on the NBC Radio Network.